So welcome once again to all our listeners, wherever you may be around the world. This is Satchinama at the November 2016 college meeting. And for the last interview of this meeting, I've got Subuti with me. He's just leaving later today, so I just managed to pin him down for 15 minutes. You led some study on the college meeting. I know the study's often one of the highlights for the other college members. So I was just going to ask you what you chose to study and why. So maybe you could just say a bit about that.
Well, I chose to study the broad area of bodhicitta because I had various thoughts about that.
Yeah.
And I have spent my last visit to India, 2.5 months, mainly focusing on that theme. And I thought there were issues arising from that were relevant to the whole college, especially. So I'll tell you a little bit about why I chose to do it. Yes. The major reason, not the first reason, but the major one, is the reflection that bodhicitta is a better way of thinking about our aim and goal than any other. That what we're trying to do is to allow the bodhicitta to manifest amongst us.
So rather than insight, which is a
It's not rather than insight, but it's putting insight in its right proportion. Yes, in a sense, rather than insight, but insight is of course absolutely crucial. But insight is important because it gets you out of the way, so that bodhicitta can manifest. And I think that if we think like that, we get a very different approach, different personal approach.
So that would be more the spiritual rebirth aspect in the terms of the five stages? The bodhicitta is more what...
You could say, yes, yeah. Because of course the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas upon whom we meditate in the classic version of the stage of spiritual rebirth are the embodiments of that bodhicitta, that spirit of bodhi, of awakening, of enlightenment. Yes, so I think it's far better for us collectively to think of that, and to think of this as a collective task, and to think of the order as the manifestation of that spirit, which is not mine or yours or even ours in a certain sense, but it's a spirit that goes beyond all such distinctions that we're trying to allow ourselves to participate in, and that our order is an attempt to embody. You know, Bhante says it's literally the thousand-armed Avalokiteshvara, and he meant something very, very profound by that. So I think if you focus narrowly on insight out of that context, you miss the suprapersonal dimension. Suprapersonal, yeah. Both in the sense of something beyond the personal, but also in the sense of participating together. Of course, if you really genuinely have insight, then you have bodhicitta. But I think in terms of practice and of reflection, it's really important to have that larger perspective. Of course, also that if we recognise bodhicitta as the task that we share, and the order as the attempt to manifest that collectively, that has a consequence for our whole life together. And one of the points I was making is that I think we're far more closely connected than we realise. For instance, I think Bhante's much more closely affected by the way people think and talk about him than they realise. I think if people were more responsible in that way, it would be a jolly good thing. It's not to say that one might not have comments and criticisms, but you know, remember this extraordinary man who has enabled the spirit of bodhicitta to manifest amongst us, for all his personal character and even maybe at times failings. But he has enabled that spirit to manifest amongst us. And when you talk about him and think about him in whatever way, I'm sure that affects him, as we affect each other.
Yeah. I mean, there was you've been doing metaform or sending metta on this meeting, and there was a message fed back to the college that Bhante was appreciating that.
Yeah.
And so he is obviously very sensitive to a subtler atmosphere.
Yes. Well, I've always experienced this with Bhante, that he picks up on things without necessarily having any, you know, material base for that.
Yeah.
And I personally experienced that in terms of coincidence of thoughts with him quite often, because I work very closely with him.
Yeah.
And I've seen the way in which he's strongly affected by the mood and atmosphere in the order.
Oh.
And I certainly would like people to be much more responsible in that way. Oh. It's not to say there are not things to discuss, but discuss them in the context of appreciation of this extraordinary man, who and discussion of him in merely technical terms of you know, stages and levels is ridiculous. If you know him at all, you know that there's something majestic about him that is way beyond what he is as a mere human being.
So in the study on the Bodhicitta with the college, did you draw on particular texts from the Buddhist tradition or particular influences? Or?
Well, I had in the back of my mind the work that I'd been doing in India, particularly on the 7-point mind training. Mm. And previously I worked with the 8 verses for training the mind.
Mm.
But I'd felt that it was important in India to epitomise, because Indians are not particularly sophisticated intellectually, at least those that I deal with mainly. Well, they're not at all unintelligent, and also a very, very strong faith and capacity to open up to something larger, which puts us in the West to shame. You know, for instance, their feeling for Bhante is extraordinary, even though, you know, some of the things that we're wondering about here are much more difficult for them. But they say that's nothing, that's tiny. So I have to try to take those texts and get to the essence of them. And so I was trying to communicate something of that. I didn't take the text and go through it, although I was remembering bits from it to illustrate what I was saying.
And there were there things that came out from studying in the college specifically? Because, I mean, obviously you've known many of the people in the college for decades. There's quite a high level of understanding of the Dharma. So is it... What's the difference between, you know, studying in India and then studying the college? And were there things that came out of study with the college that...
Well, I think that really the situation of the college allows one to explore in greater depth and vividness themes that I was exploring in India. But because, as you say, we know each other so well, and there is an extraordinary degree of harmony amongst us, really quite well, surprising for me. I've been with it for many years, but all the time it grows, and that sense of a shared consciousness, a shared spirit, which is bodhicitta, is very, very strong amongst the college members. As you say, we do know each other. The Dhamma Dinner was on my very first retreat in 1971, I think, and with many of the others, I've lived and worked with them and fought and played with them over many, many years. So there's tremendous knowledge of each other in that way, but also a very, very deep shared understanding of the nature of Dhamma life and the nature of the order. A very great shared concern for that. So all of that exemplifies what I was talking about and makes our discussion of it much more subtle, profound, vivid, striking. I wouldn't say anything particularly new came out apart from the sort of intensity with which we went into things. So there were 30 of us or so. What were the numbers?
More like 26.
Okay, 26 of us sitting around in a room for 3 hours each day, discussing Of course, I was doing most of the talking, but there was quite a bit of discussion. It was everybody completely involved, very close attention. Anybody who wants to speak has got the freedom to do so. So you had the intimacy of a group of five people, but with 26 of us, which was, I think, the topic itself really is inspired.
And also, you were doing bodhicitta practice too on those days in the afternoons. And that
Parami led that.
So that presumably fed into it or as well.
Yes.
So were you doing bodhicitta practice in India?
Yes, I was. One of the reasons why I was so keen to explore the bodhicitta again in India, and which I drew out very much in the study with the preceptors, is that in India the emphasis is very much on transforming society because, well, we know why. Yeah. I think that I don't need to go into that. And I just come back from Balangir in the western Orissa, which is supposed to be one of the poorest places in Asia, and our extraordinary order members there come from the greatest poverty, the greatest ignorance, and the greatest social oppression. Really, you know, takes your breath away to see it. And they're magnificent men. Ratnakumar, Maitreya Ratna, and Dharmasen. Very, very dedicated guys. Their parents are illiterate. They come from, you know, one has to say, untouchable ghettos outside the main village. The main villages are poor enough, but the ghetto is just dreadful. And no work. They're magnificent, vital, intelligent, active men who cannot practice the Dhamma outside the context of that social demand. You know, they see their brothers and sisters remaining in those conditions and they must do something for it. So Ratnakumar's my secretary, so we spent a lot of time together and he's constantly demanding of me to relate anything in the Dhamma that I talk about to these people suffering.
Yeah.
So for me, that sort of become even more vivid.
Right.
And so I've been seeking ways of making the Dhamma meet that obvious social tragedy, and at the same time be the Dhamma at its deepest and best. Highest and best, whichever you like to use. And the Bodhisattva ideal obviously does that uniting force, and especially because Dr. Ambedkar is spoken of universally in India as a Bodhisattva, that there's a power to that language. So even people who their Buddhism is somewhat sort of literalistic and rationalistic and maybe even a bit sort of sub-Theravadin, they acknowledge the Bodhisattva ideal. So once you talk about Dr. Ambedkar as Bodhisattva, you're into a much larger picture. So I've been doing that, but I think that's relevant here, because here the issue is the other way around. We're all so concerned about ourselves and our own problems, quite rightly, and think in terms of working on ourselves, quite rightly, that we miss the larger context, which actually makes that work on ourselves effective. Because if you're just concerned with yourself, you're really refining upon your self-clinging. So that was quite an important element in what I was trying to say.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts on that, Sabuti. Wish you well. You're back to my screen today.
I'm back to my screen today.
And we'll see you here in 2 or 3 weeks' time, I think you're back.
I'll be back, at the beginning of December. And then I'm going back to India at the end of December.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.